Welcome to the Prosperous Piano Teacher Podcast. I'm Ashley Young, pianist, instructor, and business coach, and I'm here to help you dream big about what your studio could be if you are willing to open your mind and level up your business skills. I'm going to share the tangible strategies that I've learned for streamlining and scaling your studio so that you can align your business to work for your life instead of letting your business control your life. I am so happy that you're here. Let's dive in. Hey there, before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to make a quick announcement. I have a brand new business coaching package that I am opening up to two people in the next couple of weeks. This coaching package is definitely not for everyone. This is for those of you that already are collecting leads and growing your email address. This is for those of you that have ideas of courses that you want to create, or those of you that have already created courses, but you would like help learning how to market and sell those courses in more effective ways. This is for those of you that really want to level up your messaging and your marketing and make sure that as you try to create passive income with a course, that you're doing so in a way that is scalable and that you're doing so in a way that will lead you to success because you know how to market and sell that course. This package is going to be 8 sessions. And over the course of the 8 sessions, which don't necessarily meet every single week, we are going to get you help either creating your course or putting your course up on Kajabi. We're going to help you work on your live launching skills, your marketing, your messaging, growing your email list so that you constantly have new leads coming in that will be interested in what you're selling, and so much more. This package is going to include support between those 8 sessions via an app called Telegram. It's going to include access to scripts, templates, sales sequence emails, and everything that you need in order to have success with the launch and creation and promotion and selling of your course. And it's going to have exclusive Kajabi technical support from me and also my team. And my assistant is an amazing Kajabi expert. You will also have a chance to guest here on the podcast. So before we dive into today's episode, if this is something that you're interested in, pull up my DMs on Instagram, Ashley Young Music Studio, shoot me a message and we can chat about if this is a good fit for you. I can send you more details and ask you some questions to see if it would be a good fit. Again, it's not for everybody. And I don't even have a landing page up for this yet. It's just a new package that I'm so excited to offer. And I know that a couple of you are going to hear this and know that it is a fit for you. DM me and we'll chat. All right, now let's dive into the episode. Hello, hello, and welcome into another episode of The Prosperous Piano Teacher. I'm Ashley. If you are a longtime listener, welcome back. I can't wait to talk with you about today's topic. And if you're new to the podcast, welcome in. This is going to be a really, really great episode, and I can't wait to dive in with you. Now, I am recording this on a Tuesday morning. We are just starting to see the exciting beginnings of spring, which is really great. I actually had to close my window this morning because as I'm recording a bunch of videos, the light was too bright, and that rarely happens, and it makes me so happy. And we're going to dive in today, and we're going to talk about 3 of the biggest mistakes that keep you under 6 figures. These are mistakes that, I'm not going to lie, I have made. I have absolutely made them in the past. Mistakes that I have learned from. And in thinking back on my growth through a private studio, starting a YouTube channel, having sources of passive income, and also a high ticket program, these are problems that I had to overcome in order to get where I am. And these are problems that I heard other entrepreneurs talk about, but that it's that thing where I couldn't really overcome them until I overcame them, right? You don't know what you don't know. And so I had to learn these lessons on my own. And I think we all have to learn these lessons in our own way, because we each have our own meaning of them and our own unique brand of them. And so I'm going to share them with you in hopes that you can jumpstart your learning of these lessons, right? Because if maybe you're unaware that these are lessons you need to learn, this might be a really great stepping off point for you to become aware of these lessons that you need to learn and to start to take a look at how you might learn them or how you might overcome these issues if you struggle with them. Maybe you already are aware of these things. And in that case, you're likely going to hear some things in this episode that are going to help you overcome them, right? Because I'm going to share a little bit about what helped me, what has helped some of my coaching clients, and what I've seen, other entrepreneurs do to overcome these lessons as well. Now, if you are getting value out of the podcast, or if you listen to this episode and afterwards you're like, yes, I learned something, would you be willing to rate the podcast with a star rating. Super easy. It takes literally 5 seconds. You just scroll down, look to where you can rate it, and click how many stars you want to give it. If you want to write a review, that would be even more amazing. It takes 30 seconds. Even one sentence will do. Just letting people know what you thought of the podcast, if you found it valuable, if it helped you. Rating and reviewing and also then sharing the link with a friend really helps get this information out to other people that might benefit from the podcast. When I originally started the podcast, I was thinking about the name of the podcast, The Prosperous Piano Teacher. And I think I go over this in the first episode, that name, it means, you know, what I want to help people become. I want to help you become prosperous. And prosperous to me means having the kind of life that you want. Right? It's not just about money. It's about having a rich life that is full of love and joy and light and happiness and whatever you want to be in your life, right? So for me, that's time with my daughter, time with my family, time with my friends, time to myself to be able to do the care that I know that I need on a daily basis, like moving my body and resting and eating things that are nutritious for me. So that to me is prosperity. And when I originally started the podcast, I was thinking that I want to help you all become prosperous, which I still do. I still want to do that. But I was kind of thinking that this podcast would be only for piano teachers. And in the last few weeks, I've had a lot of people reach out that are not piano teachers. And I've come to realize that really this podcast actually applies to any service-based entrepreneurs, right? And I'm always using the examples of piano teachers and teaching piano and teaching music, because that has been my path to prosperity. And again, by prosperity, I mean like having the kind of life that I want to have, but it's not necessarily limited to piano teachers. So you can share this link with any of your entrepreneur friends, even if they're not piano teachers, even if they're not in the music industry, right? You might have an entrepreneur friend that is a life coach or a chiropractor or a health coach. You know, it really applies to any entrepreneur, because being a musician and a pianist will always be such a part of my identity and such a part of my business, but that's not the only thing that we're talking about here. So I just wanted to explain that, because the podcast is evolving a little bit and it's really exciting, and I want you to come along with me. Nothing's going to change in the content that I'm doing, but we are getting more listeners that aren't just piano teachers, which is really cool and really exciting to know that this message is resonating with others. So all of that to say, rate the podcast, review the podcast, and share it with a friend, even if that friend isn't a piano teacher. That friend could be another music teacher with a different instrument or a voice teacher, or that friend might even be another service-based entrepreneur, okay? Now, I have a couple of other exciting announcements, and then I promise we are going to dive in. So the other thing that I want to talk to you about is I have started an affiliate program for not only my Secrets to Sight Reading course, but also the Casual to Confident Piano Player program. But I want to talk about the Secrets to Sight Reading course, because that is an amazing opportunity for any of you that are listening who have students that need to improve their sight reading. Obviously, the course is for adult piano players, but it would likely work for a high schooler or for anyone that is not a child. but an affiliate opportunity means that you could potentially sign up through my website. It's super easy. I would send you an invite link and you just create like a login and a password, and you can grab a link from your affiliate portal and share it with people. And if people end up purchasing the course using your link, it will track that those purchases came from you. And I will know to be able to pay you for those purchases. My affiliate commission is 20%, meaning that if you sell a course, you get 20% of what the sale of that course is. Now, for those of you that really want to start dipping your toes into passive income and maybe don't know where to get started, or you have gotten started, but it's not happening as fast as you want, this could be a really great opportunity with really low stakes, because you're not creating anything. You're not having to do your own launch or anything like that, although you could do a launch for the course if you wanted to, but a great way for you to earn some affiliate income that would be passive, other than you just sharing the link on social media or sharing it with your existing students. So if you're interested, the process for now is going to be, well, now at the time of recording this and releasing it, is going to be to just DM me on Instagram at Ashley Young Music Studio, and I can send you the invite link. Eventually, I will have a more formal process that is much more scalable, where I will likely have a link in the show notes that you can just click to sign up. But for now, just DM me. I'll get your email address. I will email you that sign up link, and that's how we're going to go about it for now. Okay. I think one other announcement, and then we're diving in, I promise. Okay, so the other announcement is that I have a new business coaching package that is available, okay? And I'm so excited about this package. This is something that has been in the works for a really long time, and it's something that is a little bit different than what I have offered before. So this business coaching package, I don't have a landing page for it. You are all the very first ones to hear about it. I've like emailed a few individuals about it, but I don't even have a landing page for it yet because I wanted to let all of you know as podcast listeners first, and I wanted you to be the first ones to hear. So this is an 8-week coaching package, and this is not necessarily for people wanting to elevate their current studio. This is for people that are service-based entrepreneurs, so piano teachers, music teachers, any other service-based entrepreneurs that would like help with course creation. And by that, I mean the technical side of like how to actually like host a course, like where do you do that? How do you get it up on a website like Kajabi? And then also how to create that course if you already have an idea, how to insert valuable things into that course, how do you make that course timeless and evergreen so that you know like you're not gonna have to go back and change things in the course every few months. It's for any service-based entrepreneur that would also like help marketing and selling this course. So this means live launching it to perfect your message and marketing so that you can rinse and repeat your live launch whenever you want. And or turning that live launch evergreen so that you can actually sell this course passively with these systems and processes in place so it truly can be passive once you have it all set up. This means going through and helping, I would help you write your email sequences. We would write out the script for the launch event. We would create all of the promotional content. We would do all of that together so that by the time we were done with our 8 weeks together, you would have everything you need to set it up to live launch it and turn it passive after you've live launched it and gathered the data from a few launches. Now, in this package, you get 8 60-minute coaching sessions with me that will be recorded and you have lifetime access to those recordings. You get support between the sessions via an app called Telegram. That's like a really great messaging app. You get access to scripts, templates, email sequence templates, all those types of things from me and my launches and other clients' launches. You get access to my team, meaning my assistant who is a Kajabi expert so that we can help you with the technical side and so that we can even help you get your course up and running. And then also a chance to guest here on the podcast after we're done working together. So if you are interested, let me know. This package is not for everybody, right? This package is customizable depending on your goals, but it's really for those of you that feel like you're a little bit beyond your private studio and you already have ideas. You're already collecting email addresses. You already maybe have like a lead magnet. You're already talking to customers. You already maybe have created a course or you have ideas about creating a course and you want to put it into action. Okay, so DM me on Instagram if you want to talk more about that coaching package and we can chat about it. I will not have more than one or two spots, probably two maximum starting right here in the next couple of weeks because something exciting that's happening is at the end of June, I will be traveling for a month with my daughter and with some friends. So I don't want us to be having to do your coaching sessions when I am traveling. I want to be able to be fully focused, fully present for you. And so the packages will start like probably by the end of this month at the very latest and go through the end of June. So I'll have at the most two spots, definitely one. So reach out as soon as possible if you know this is something that you're interested in. All right, let's dive into it. That was a lot of housekeeping, but I couldn't let this episode go by without informing you about all of those exciting things that are happening. So let's dive into the three biggest mistakes that keep you under six figures. The first one, not valuing your time. Okay. And this is something we talk about a lot here on the podcast. I want you to value your time. And this comes up in a few different ways. So this could be as simple as charging an hourly rate that's fair, right? And by hourly rate, I do think, you know, you're not actually charging by the hour. Like ideally you are charging in packages or by a monthly fee. And it's not directly tied to like how many hours you show up. I talk about that a lot here on the podcast, but I also think not valuing your time in a larger sense, meaning you're thinking only about how you can make money in the hour to money exchange. We've talked here before about how I really think that there are three types of currency. There's time, energy, and money, right? And money is one of the currencies. And it's often the only one that people think about. They only think like, how much am I going to charge by the hour? Right. And as long as you're in that way of thinking of just like money is the only currency and it's by the hour that I'm making money, you're going to be totally limited to making a certain amount of money per hour. But if you start to factor in, how much time it really takes you to prepare for the lessons, how much time you really put into the recital prep, how much time you're putting in outside of lessons, thinking about the various activities and pieces and things that you could do to make sure the lesson is really wonderful for your students. Now we're talking about, oh, wait, is that hourly rate as fair? And then if you think about all the energy, right? And that means all the types of energy, the emotional, the mental, the physical energy that it takes for you to show up and teach that lesson. And it's going to be different depending on what kind of lessons you're teaching. Are you doing online lessons? Are you doing in-person lessons? And it's going to be different person to person, right? We all know we have students where we leave the lessons and we feel energized by those lessons. I always used to know that that's how I knew I was teaching the right students, right? If I left the lesson and I felt like I was full of energy after teaching, I knew that those were like my golden unicorn students that I loved working with. If you're leaving your lessons and you're feeling drained of energy, likely there's something that needs to change. And I'm not saying you need to get rid of that student, but it might be that the student isn't an energetic match for you. It might be that you are going into the lesson trying to give too much or having too high of expectations. Something is off in that energetic exchange, right? And so I want you to value your time, not only if you're teaching one-on-one or if you're providing your service one-on-one. So making sure that you're charging a high enough rate that takes into account all of the time, all of the energy that you put into those lessons, but then also moving beyond that and thinking about how much is it really worth for you to share your expertise with people if you can move beyond the idea that that can only happen in an a time to money exchange, right? If you were to really take into account how much energy, how much training, how much love and time you put into sharing this information with everyone, is there a way you could do that where you can put a much higher value on it? Maybe a course that you can create, maybe a way that you can show up and teach larger numbers of people, maybe content that you can put out into the world that will ultimately bring more value into your studio. Okay. So thinking about how you can value your time more. Now, one of the ways that this really has become apparent to me as well, and that has honestly been a growth curve in the last year at a little bit of a higher level, is making sure that I'm not doing the tasks that aren't in my expertise, right? So we all have our expertise. And oftentimes the way it goes is that people go to school for music or for your expertise, and then you end up teaching and you are doing a lot of things that aren't in your area of expertise. Now, I now consider a huge area of interest to be business and how to run my business and how to do that in a very scalable way. And I would say that that has developed over the last few years to be a new area of expertise for me. But we're also doing things like organizing our calendars and invoicing our students and administrative tasks like that. And those are areas that aren't necessarily our areas of expertise. And they're also areas that don't need necessarily an expert to be doing those things, right? So what are the things in your business that you can pass off to someone else or to AI or to a service so that you can elevate the tasks that you are spending time on? Okay. So for example, I did this, I'll give you lots of examples of this. I did this in the first way by starting to use Fonz. And that was a platform that allowed me to not be scheduling anymore and not be invoicing my students anymore and not be collecting money. Okay. And those are simple things, but they added up. I was spending, I would say probably like 3 hours a month on those tasks. And so when I started valuing my time more and said, I'm no longer going to do these tasks because I value my time, and my time is not best spent tracking down payments, organizing a calendar, and invoicing students, right? So I'm gonna pass that on to this service. And all of a sudden I had 3 hours a month. And naturally the way the energy works is that those 3 hours were filled with something different. And if I'm being conscious about it, I could fill those 3 hours with something that is of a higher energy or something that I value more, something that I can bring my expertise to more that essentially turns into more value in the future. So like starting a YouTube channel, right? Starting to release content regularly that creates authority around my brand and helps me become much better at creating video content. And that could lead to a million different things that will create value in my studio down the road. Okay. So that's one example. Another example would be when I first hired a VA. So saying, okay, so now there are these tasks that I have to do on a regular basis that I know I don't need to be the one doing these. I know someone else could do them just as well as me. In fact, maybe even better if they have skill sets that I don't have. And if I didn't have to do these tasks, I would have even more time to do yet again, another leveled up level of task. So when I hired my VA, the first things I had my VA do were putting emails into my email or into my CRM manager. So I would write the emails. I always write all the content. So the content is always done by me, but actually like pasting those emails into the email sender, you know, putting all the people in that are going to get the email, make sure it's tagged correctly, make sure it's sent at or scheduled at the correct time. I don't need to do that. And in fact, someone else who has more experience with that is going to make less mistakes. It's going to do a better job and is likely even going to have suggestions of ways that that could be done better. Another thing that I had my VA do when I first hired is starting to upload my YouTube videos. And this one was actually a little higher level. I didn't do this in the very beginning, but starting to streamline that process of like, okay, so I'm creating the content, I'm editing the content, but now this other person is actually uploading that content, which uploading to YouTube, if any of you have done it, it takes a long time. Like it's annoyingly detailed work, but it's repeatable, right? And it's something that I don't necessarily have to do. And that my VA now that she does it even can do that as good as me, if not better. Okay. And then eventually after about 8 months of working with a VA, I actually started having my VA edit my YouTube videos. And that was something that if you would have asked me when I first started my YouTube channel, I would have said like, there's no way I will ever let someone edit my YouTube videos because I don't think someone else can do it. It's part of my creative process. But as I started to continue to value my time more, I thought to myself, is this something that I have to do? Or now that it's more of a formula, now it's more something I've done and I'm more comfortable with, could I pass this task along to someone else? And would that allow me to put even more time and energy into creating the script for the video or researching the topics or talking to the people that watch the videos and seeing what resonates with them? And so all of these are examples of ways that I have made a conscious choice to value my time in a different way. Okay. To say, okay, I'm going to explore what it might be like if I don't do this task. And if I value my time a little bit more to say that I'm actually not going to do these types of tasks anymore, and I'm going to pass that off to an automation or to a person, so that I can do higher level tasks that ultimately move the needle more in my business. Okay. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the ways in your business that you might be valuing or not valuing your time. And are there ways you can do this better? One of the things that I like to think about on a monthly basis is what are the things that I could like put myself out of, right? What are the things that I could work myself out of? What are ways that I am running my business that could either be optimized, could be streamlined, could be handed off to AI that I could make take a shorter amount of time or that ultimately I could pass along to someone else? And that doesn't mean that if you want to pass something along to someone else, that doesn't mean that you're automatically in the position to do that immediately, right? Maybe you don't have a VA and that's okay. I didn't for a long time either. And even now that I have a VA, it's not like I have an entire team of like 20 people with marketing specialists and you know, different kinds of departments or anything like that. So I have lots of ideas about how I'm eventually going to continue to value my time. But simply letting your brain think about it and knowing that it's an option for you eventually, even if it's not an option right now, is huge. And that is you taking the step to value your time more, even if you can't act on it right now. Okay. Excuse me. Let's move on to point two. So the second mistake that you can make that will keep you under six figures. Oh, and I meant to say this in the beginning, but make sure you stick around for number three, because that's like, this is a huge one. Number three. The second thing that you can do that gets in your way of making six figures is, sorry, I had to take a drink of water. Getting stuck in a scarcity mindset. And I know that I've talked about this a lot on the podcast, but I'm gonna bring you some new points of view on it today. So getting stuck in a scarcity mindset essentially is when you are making decisions based out of your fear of lack instead of trusting that it will be okay. Oh my gosh. And this is a lesson. I mean, honestly, this is a lesson I keep learning at new levels, right? I don't know that this is ever going to go away because I think it's human nature to have that fear and that anxiety creep in sometimes, even if it's not something that you struggle with on a daily basis. Like some of us might struggle with it more often or less often. And I think there's seasons where we struggle with it more often and less often. I didn't have a scarcity mindset when I wasn't trying to level up my business, right? When I was just teaching full time and I was very happy with what I was doing, it was very easy for me to keep an abundant mindset because I had a great business and I wasn't really trying to grow that business. And so it was just kind of coasting along and things were going well. But every time I try to level up, or every time I try to do something new, that little like voice of fear comes in. And that's generally what kicks us into the scarcity mindset. One of the things that I like to to do to help differentiate and know if I'm in a scarcity mindset is to ask myself, and I'm, am I making decisions based off of right now, like trying to solve this issue right now in this current moment, or am I allowing myself to think about the future? Okay. And this is actually going to help us like set up for point number three as well. So an example of that would be, let's say that you need money right now. You look at your monthly budget and you're like, oh my gosh, coming up in the month of April, like I had two students quit last month. I'm not going to hit my financial goal. Ah, I need money right now. And let's say that you have two students on your waiting list and you interview them and you're like, I need to fill these two spots. I'm going to reach out to these students on the waiting list. I'm going to interview them. So you do that. And immediately, when you have that interview, you know, in your gut, you're like, this is not the right fit. Maybe the parents were really intense, or maybe the student seemed really unmotivated, or maybe they talked really badly about the teacher that they had before. There's just like red flags everywhere. And you knew that they were not a right fit for the studio, but you decided to take them on anyway. Okay. This is a perfect example of this, and one that I have been guilty of so many times in the past. You need money right now. You want to make your April income goal. And so you are saying, I'm going to take these students on, even though I know it's not a fit. Now, what happens is you've gotten stuck in a scarcity mindset because you're only thinking about the lack of money, and you're letting that lack or that scarcity drive your decisions instead of saying, you know what? I know that those students weren't a fit. I know that right now, as things are today, I don't have a way to meet my April income goal, but I'm going to trust that I'm going to figure it out. And I'm not going to take on these students that are ultimately going to cost me a lot of time and a lot of energy because I know they're not a fit. And instead, I'm going to trust that I'm going to come up with another way to reach my goal, or I'm going to have new inquiries, or I'm going to come up with another way. And in doing that, and in making the choice to not live in scarcity mindset and to say, I know this is going to be okay. I know that I can do it. I know that that money is going to come. All of a sudden, your brain totally shifts. And I like can feel the shift happen now. And now, instead of being in this icky space of like, I'm going to take on these students because even though I know they're not a fit, like I need the money, all of a sudden you say no to that. And you can't see the video right now, but I'm like talking with my hands a lot. You say no to that here on the left-hand side, you, and you step over into the right-hand side where you're like, okay, I trust that this money is going to come. And your brain, within a few hours, within a few days, is going to start to fill in the blanks. You are going to find that if you can trust, genuinely trust that the money will come, you are going to have all sorts of ideas. Maybe you can do a post on social media. Maybe you can send an email out. Maybe you can talk to some of the other parents at the next birthday party you're at or the next play day you're at. And maybe you can put the word out that you have two open spots. Maybe you can run some sort of promotion. Maybe you can do some sort of launch event. Like there are so many things you could do to reach that money goal this month instead of getting stuck in the scarcity mindset. And I hope that you can see the energetic difference here of taking on the students that you know are not a fit and just being totally sucked dry of your energy versus trusting and knowing that it will be okay. I hope that you can see the difference there. Okay. Oh, if not, if you can't see the difference, another episode where I break this down a lot, I think, oh, I don't remember the episode number, but it's the episode that's called What You Believe About Money Will Come True. And I talk a lot more about this in that episode. So that'd be a great one to listen to after this. Okay. And this perfectly sets us up for, which is the third mistake that people make that prevents them from from hitting six figures, that I used to make as well, is not thinking ahead for scalability. Okay. Now I'm just going to go right ahead with this example that we've already had. So if you are stuck in scarcity mindset, you are not thinking ahead for scalability, because by taking on two students that you know are going to suck all of your time and energy, you are going to deplete yourself of any extra energy that you had that you could work on future projects that might help you grow and scale your business. Okay. Now, when we're talking about thinking ahead for scalability, there's two terms that people will use often, and I want to define both of them. One is growth and one is scalability. I think of growth as just simply more income or more customers, right? More students, more people entering your ecosystem. That is growth. And growth does not always equal or lead to scalability. Because scalability is where you can increase your money, increase your customer base without increasing your time. Okay. So growth means more customers, more money, more business, but scalability means growth without more time. Okay. And so I want you to not optimize your business for growth. right? Unless you really want to be someone that works like a million hours a week while you're making more money. And there are some people that do that, right? I know a lot of people that get stuck in that grind of like, to make more money, I need to work more hours. To make more money, I need to work more hours. That's not what we're about here at The Prosperous Piano Teacher, right? I want you to think scalability. How do I increase my revenue, increase the amount of people that I serve without increasing the number of hours that I'm working? Now, this isn't a perfect system. Obviously, sometimes hours will increase. There will be seasons where those hours go up, seasons where those hours are less. An example for me is when I open enrollment for Casual to Confident. My hours generally go up for a few weeks while I am doing that promotional event that opens enrollment, while I am answering questions, being customer service, taking sales calls, but it's a season. It's a few weeks. And then after that, it goes back to my regular schedule. Now, scalability comes up in a couple of different ways. So I'm going to give you some examples of ways that I see people not think about scalability. Okay. So one way that people really don't think about scalability is client onboarding. So for example, when you get a new student or when someone buys your course or enters your program, what does the client onboarding look like? Does it look like you manually typing out an email every time you're corresponding with them? Or do you have like a Google Drive folder that has all of your templates where you can just copy and paste and customize for each student that you onboard? I would highly recommend the second one, right? That's more scalable. That allows you to save time every single time you onboard a student. It allows you to copy and paste and customize instead of rewriting an email that you write over and over and over again. Another example at a higher level would be if you have a course that you're selling. Every time someone buys the course, do you need to like manually process the payment and manually send them their login credentials and manually get them access to the course? Or is it all automated on the back end because you're using a platform like Kajabi where they just check out and they're automatically granted the course and you don't have to do anything, right? That one is scalable. The other one is not. Another way that this comes up for people is when they're creating something. So I recently was working with someone who was creating a course, and she had already created this course. And so we were going through and I was kind of helping her to optimize it. And this is something that I had to learn the hard way as well, but I don't want you to have to learn it the hard way. So thinking ahead for scalability would mean making sure that the meat of your course, so like the videos in your course, don't have stuff in them that is going to morph or change later. So one example is like in my program, Casual to Confident, the course, the actual curriculum that people go through is like a high level overview of the topics, right? And it touches on the pillars of the curriculum. But then we have a course calendar where they can find the dates and the times and the Zoom link to the live classes. Now, I didn't in the course curriculum talk about what days and times the classes are on because over the years that's shifted and changed. Right. And so had I said that in the video, then every single time I changed the times of the classes, I would have to go edit that video, which is not scalable. Right. That's actually like a huge administrative headache and something that would really prevent me from scaling. Another way that people will do this is they will, with their courses, they'll add in information that isn't evergreen. So evergreen is a term that means it's timeless. It lives on forever. And so when you are creating content or when you're creating courses, you want to try to be as evergreen as possible. Meaning, think about the references you're using. Like in a video for a course, and even on my YouTube channel, I try not to talk too much about like the season that I'm in or the date or, you know, like pop culture references. I mean, you can do that and people will know that it's created years ago. But if you really want things to be like scalable and evergreen, you don't want to put those things into your course because they might change later. That reference might be outdated and you're gonna have to go edit all of that at a future point. I'll give you one other example of not thinking ahead for scalability, and it's the way that you collect information from people. So this could be through your website if you have like an inquiry form where people could inquire about lessons, or if you're already creating content and you have like a newsletter or a way for people to download a lead magnet or something. You want to make sure that the way that you're collecting people's information is not only going into a centralized system like a customer relation manager like MailChimp or Kajabi or something like that. You also want to make sure that they're getting tagged appropriately. So in the future, if you have someone that's asking questions and your email list has now grown to a size where you don't necessarily know every single person individually that's on it, you can look up that person and see what tags they have. You can see when they entered your ecosystem. You can see like, oh, okay, they downloaded the practice planner and then they attended this event and now they're considering buying this course, but they have questions. Right? And that will help you keep more of a personal relationship with everybody that comes into your ecosystem as that grows. Okay, it's also going to eliminate a lot of headaches because if you have a system where you're collecting email addresses and like manually adding them to a Google spreadsheet, that's not scalable. I mean, it might be okay right now if you're getting one lead a week, but if you have a desire to start getting one lead a day or 10 leads a day or 30 leads a day, that's not going to be a scalable system. So thinking ahead for scalability. And those three examples that I just gave, those are not the only examples, but those are some examples that I see come up often. But anytime you're making a choice of how you're going to do something, I want you to ask yourself the question, is this something I can replicate, automate, and is it something that I could do in the future if 100 people wanted it, right? So client onboarding, course creation, giving you their email address, like, could you handle it if 100 people today wanted what you were doing? And if the answer is no, then you likely need to make some other choices that are more grounded in a space of being able to scale. Now, these are also things that we will be talking about if you decide to sign up for that coaching package, right? We will be talking about scarcity mindset because it creeps into anyone that ever hires me as a business coach. And then also scalability is a huge thing because in helping people create courses and in helping people get the tech set up for the courses and the email sequences and all of that, that is something that this is a lesson that I have now learned and mastered, thinking about scalability. And so that is something that I teach the coaching clients that I work with, how to think about and make sure that we design everything to be totally scalable. So if you are interested in the affiliate program for the Sight Reading course or the business coaching package, just send me a DM on Instagram at Ashley Young Music Studio. Please rate, review, and share the episode. You are all amazing. By being here and listening to this episode, I know that you're so passionate and driven about creating a prosperous life for yourself, and I can't wait to see how you do that. We will talk soon. Have a fantastic week.
Thank you so much for listening. I love connecting with open-minded business owners from all over the world. As you know, a studio policy is one of the most important assets of your business, and a good studio policy will save you time and energy. For this reason, I created a free PDF with a list of 3 ways that you can level up your studio policy right now. To grab the free PDF, head on over to ashleyjyoung.com/levelup, and the link is in the show notes as well. Talk to you soon.